Ephesians, the way I taught it before, chapter 4 was talking about our walking in unity. Chapter 5 was walking in purity. And chapter 6 was walking, well, actually, chapter 5, 21 through 6, 9 is walking in harmony. And to the end of chapter 6 is victory. Well, what I want to do, because everybody always focuses on the armor of God, I wanted to back up and show you why we need the armor. We're in a battlefield for our faith. And so I need to understand, why do I need these things, right? Why do I want to have, you know, the breastplate of righteousness? Why do I want to have my mind, you know, covered? Why are these things important? So tonight we're going to talk just a little bit about that. In Ephesians, he's already challenged, before we're moving into 6, he's already talked to husbands and wives about what they need to do. So now we're going to start at Ephesians 6:1, and I've got that for you. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord," and this is the Amplified Version because it explains it in a parenthesis. Obey your parents in the Lord, that is, accept their guidance and discipline as his representative. For this is right, for obedience teaches wisdom and self-discipline. So we're going to talk tonight about there's a natural understanding and a supernatural understanding, okay? So the first thing I want you to realize is that when Paul is talking, he's written this letter to the Ephesians church, okay? So if you're going to read a letter to the group, I want you to recognize he starts us off with children. Children is the word techna, not little tykes, but techna. And what that means is it's any person who's living under the roof, eating at the table of, or being provided for an adult. You're a child. You're a techna, okay? And now we think of techna like technology, but no. That is the Greek word. And what it means is he's coming in and he's saying, children, hey, anybody who's living under the roof of, anybody who's got their feet under the table of, anybody who's being provided for, you need to obey those who are in authority over you. Now, when he said this, most everybody had parents. Now we don't. So I want to put that in the right terms, because now you understand who's ever roof you're under, who's ever table you're at, who's ever providing for you. I think the stats in Haltom City are pretty high of grandparents raising grandchildren. So it's here's the other thing, though. When he says children, if you'll go ahead and put up that second slide, there's a simple understanding here, okay? He's like, hey, children, obey your parents. That's simple, isn't it? And we make that so hard. And the world has come in and put their spin on what that means. But you got to realize when he says children, they in church. Because the letter was read out to the church of Ephesus. So listen, I don't want anybody in here tonight going, oh, I've done everything wrong. If that's what you take away, then the enemy clearly is beating you up. Here's what we need to understand. He's coming in, and he's already talked to the parents, chapter 5, wives, husband. Now he's talking directly to the children, and he's telling them, you want to do this because if you honor your father and your mother, it's going to go well with you. This is the first time, the only time that it's recorded, that when he gives you something to do, here's your benefit. You're going to have a good life. You're going to have a long life, okay? Now, long can be relative. I don't really care about living over 100. I'm just going to tell y'all right now, I don't want to be seen toothless on, you know, Good Morning America or anything like that. I'm happy with what God's done in my life. But he's talking now to them because he's recognizing these parents, these believers, have brought their children to church. So I think that now what's happened is that we let the world justify us in why we even need church. And there's this thing going around that you don't have to be saved and go to church. You can still be saved and not be in church. Has anybody heard this besides me? Right. Okay, well, I had already prepared this analogy when someone asked me about this before service. So let me just explain something. People who don't go to school, do you see a difference in what they know and what people who, let's just say, even got a sixth grade education from those who don't? Do you see a difference in what they know? Do you see a difference in what people know who finished high school? Right? College, maybe. Certainly we can in jobs, because now jobs, you get paid more for more education, and they can be people who don't really know how to apply it, but if they got it on their resume, some of them are going to get it, right? So we've all said then that we agree that those who go to school, you can see a benefit. Why, you're not stupid if you don't go to school. You're so much better off if you do. Agreed? Okay, thank you. So here's the thing with church. You can say, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not your judge. I don't know what God's done in your life and what your understanding with him is. But what I want to tell you is, you will not accomplish the things outside of church like you would if you stayed in church. Because here's what happens. The Holy Spirit will directly speak to something that you need when you are in a service. Anybody want to amen me on that? Yeah. So this is the thing with children. We come in, and now we have a generation that we're saying, you don't have to do that. Well, if you want to slide by with as little as you can do, is that the employee you want to hire? Is that the person you want to marry? Is that the person you want to be friends with? Not really. Why? Because we know that their motive is not to be more productive and not to grow, but they just want to do what they want to do. And guys, he is saying, he's already told the parents, but he's telling the children, there's something you can learn from your parents. If you're sitting, they're providing for you, you need to be obeying them. So now we have the theory in today's culture that, well, you know, they're 14. Kids are smart today. They know a lot. They're 14. They're kind of smart. I think that, you know, we should let them start making decisions on their own. Anybody in this house want to tell me that you don't need help? Raise your hand if you don't need help making decisions. Raise your hand if you don't need anybody to ever help you. If you don't ever get doubtful, you're never afraid, raise your hand. Yeah, that's what I thought, because I do. So what I'm telling you is, if you and I admit that we still need help, what do you think about the children? And they're still children, if they're living under your roof, and they got their feet under your table, and you may even be washing their clothes. I'm just saying. There needs to be an authority that God has given you that is obeyed. Next week we'll talk about that, any abuse of authority. But tonight I want to talk about authority, because we are to be people who, when we put on the armor of God, it's because we're walking in his authority. I'm not in mine. Certainly in newspapers today, we know how many people that take on the tools and the weaponry of the world, and if they aren't walking under obedience to someone, what do they do with that? They cause destruction. So this is the thing. He's already charged the parents, hey, you get your act together as husband and wife, and by act, that means love each other, respect each other. And then when you come in church, when we learn how he loves us, that's how we're going to have to love a spouse, love our children. But he's talking to the children now. So on this level, he's saying, what do you listen to the most? Are you listening to yourself? Are you listening to the world? How about our kids? Do our kids respect their teachers and what they have to say more than what you have to say? Do our kids respect what rock stars say more than what you say? Do our kids respect what other kids say over what you say? See, what we've got to do is take our house back. And we've got to say to them, guys, this is not right. It will not prosper you. You're not going to thrive. You're not going to go to hell. But you're not going to thrive, and you're not going to live in this condition. And as long as you are in my house, these are the things that we're going to do. That's a God-given authority. And it's not just going to be a blessing to you, but he told those kids, it's going to bless you. It's going to go well with you to obey your parents. Now, in the day that we live now, certainly all throughout the ages, there was abuse of power. And again, we'll talk about that next week. But let's just say that there really is somebody who knows more than their parents. Okay? I mean, I'll admit there were times when I thought I knew more than my parents. I'm like, oh, they're just, oh my goodness, they're so old-fashioned. Oh, that, if I wear that to school, I'm going to get laughed out of there, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You think you know so much. But the truth was, it wasn't my acceptance by other people. It was my productivity, growing in the Spirit to learn by obedience. Anybody know how the Bible says Jesus learned obedience? Through the things he suffered. So if your child thinks they're suffering, good thing, they're probably learning obedience. And the reason that it's important is because if they don't obey you, they're not going to obey a spouse. They won't obey an employer. They'll think that they have nobody to answer to. They'll think that they have the answers, and that as long as they've got two or three people in agreement with them, they don't even need you. Does this sound familiar about our culture? Okay? So we can take this back. We can certainly take that back. We use our authority to do these simple things that God says everybody's going to thrive. Is it fun? Do you really enjoy telling your kids this is what you're going to do? No. Is it popular? No. I remember Leah had a little friend. She was a church friend. And she came home one day and she said, my friend said that you are old-fashioned and that you think you know everything. And I just said, well, Leah, I don't care what she thinks. What do you think? And she said, I think she's right. I said, okay. Good to know. Well, I went in the bedroom, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. But to her, I didn't let her know. And probably about 15 minutes later, I heard this little tap on the door, and she's bawling. And she goes, Mom, I'm so sorry I said that. I don't think that. I was just mad because you wouldn't let me wear those short shorts that she was wearing, and you told me I couldn't wear them, and it made me mad. And she said, you were just so, and she was just bawling. She goes, I didn't mean it, Mom. I didn't mean it, and I know I hurt you. And we just cried together. That was the most beautiful thing, because then we knew we didn't want to hurt each other, but she understood that it was her own lustful desires, wanting to do what she wanted to do. But I had a better plan for her because she didn't know the plan. I don't always get the plan right, but I'm going to tell you this. There was somebody in the Bible who knew more than their parents. Jesus. Luke chapter 2 tells us that he was in the temple. They'd kind of lost him at 12 years old. He was in there teaching the word and bringing it home. And they couldn't find him, and they found him, and he was in the temple. And he said, hey, don't you know I'm about my father's business? And the word says they were confused by this, but Mary held it in her heart. But the next verse says that Jesus went on with them. See, even Jesus, who knew more than his parents, knew to obey, because what did we already say? He learned obedience through the things he suffered. And there's things you and I are going to go through that we don't understand, but I'm going to guarantee you it's going to keep us closer to the Lord than further away from him. So he comes in and he tells them that. I pulled up my notes that I'd taught before on this, and I remembered this survey that was done in 1980 in a Christian group. Did this survey. There were two men who were born the same year in the colonies of America when they came over. The first man's name was Max Jukes. Max Jukes, when they got here, because there was freedom, said, I believe in God, but I don't need to go to church, and neither do my family. So this Christian organization did a study of all his descendants from colonial America to 1980 that could be traced. And this is what they found. Max had 1,026 direct descendants, not raised in church. Because, listen, whatever your standard is, it'll get lowered. That's just the way it is. I tell that to every couple when they're getting married. Y'all, right now, you opening the doors, you getting the flowers, you doing, but that standard's going to get lowered over the years. You have to work to keep that. And it's called respect. Well, Max Jukes didn't do it. His kids didn't do it. So out of the 1,027 kids, 300 of them ended up in prison. And at least the average time that they were in prison was at least 13 years. Then there was another 190 who were professional prostitutes. Out of that group, 680 were alcoholics. There were other instances with the law in the majority of the family that didn't involve prison. So in the study, it was estimated that New York, over the period of the colonial days to 1980, had spent over $4 million in rehab and incarceration for the Jukes family. Okay? So it cost everybody something for disobedience. But if you're not being taught what obedience is, if you're not being taught what authority, right authority is, that's when people get confused. Because the statistics, 2 years ago, 2017, so maybe not even quite 2 years ago, the statistics were that children in America are not in church because the parents who go to church talk bad about the other people in church. And it sours them and they don't even want to go. They turn away from God. That's on us because we're not obeying God. So here's the other family, and you probably heard of him, Jonathan Edwards. He preached a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And because of his sermon, because not just that one, but because of his teaching and his dedication to the Lord, something happened that you can still read about in history books called the Great Awakening. And it was a revival, what we term that, a religious term, but it was an awakening from colonial times. So people today mock him, but he was a great orator, and he deserves respect for that. So his descendants, they numbered, were 929. 430 of those went into full-time ministry. 86 of those became university professors. 13 of those became university presidents. 8 of those became people who served in their community in some type of capacity. 7 were congressmen, 1 was a vice president, and they estimated that the cost the state of New York had for them was not one red cent spent. Why? Because they enriched where they were. So I'd say it's pretty important, right? So when people say, you're just going to church because you're religious, I'm not going to church because I'm religious. I'm going to church because I love the Lord and I'm grateful for what He's done. And I can tell you this. There are times when I don't want to come. And when I realize what He's done for me, it turns my whole attitude around. And when I come in that type of atmosphere, whatever funk, whatever darkness, whatever depression is on me goes when we get in His presence and we begin to sing these songs about how much you love me and how good you are, because darkness will overtake your mind and get you to give up your authority. And so before we ever get into learning about the armor of God, we got to be sure that we're walking in the right authority. And not bowing down to what the world's idea of authority is, but what God says. And it's simple. You read all these books about parenting. You read all these seminars that people go to and the money they spend and the counseling classes. And I'm not saying any of that's bad, but just listen to me. 3 scriptures in Ephesians 1 through 6, a handful of words in simple understanding, tells you how to bring your authority back in control. and it puts it on the children. So if Paul is telling them, this is how you need to be, and they're in church hearing it, they already had the head start. Well, here's what happens after that. The word obeying means hupakao, and I'm sure Steve's taught on this before, but let me just explain when he says obey. That's like a soldier who knows, who has been trained, that he has to listen carefully to what the instructions are from the top commander, because if those instructions aren't sent out, they don't know where to go, they don't know where the enemy is, and they know that it could mean their life. We are to obey the Lord like it depends, our life depends on it. Because really, it does. We were just talking before service about Linda had a family member commit suicide and how sad it was. And we were talking, she had mentioned that it was because of a divorce, an impending divorce that he did not want. I want to tell you, the world will take your life. If you let him, he'll take your life. Why? Because you have great value. And we don't even know it unless we stay in the Word. Every time I'm not in church, I'm beat down with what I can't do and why I won't succeed and who doesn't like me and why I'm faulted and why I'm flawed. But when I come in the presence of God and I realize that I am His child, He sets my mind straight to say, you are my beloved, you are a masterpiece, you were created in my image, and all things are possible with me. I love that about Him, and I need it. And I'm not ashamed to tell you I need it, because there's none of us in here are so strong. And the world's going to say, well, we're strong. We don't need that stuff. It's for the weak. Let me ask you something. How many of those people are addicted to something so they can be strong? I'll just leave that alone. All right. So I want to talk about parents. The children are listening. The parents are recognizing, hey, he's talking to us, right? Even though he's addressing the children, there's something we need to be responsible for. And then the whole point is, because Paul was speaking to the whole family. I'm not just going to talk to the kids. I want to talk to the husbands, the wives. I want the families to be whole, because we are in a battle. Dwayne one time shared statistics about children who are raised without a father, about children who are raised without a mother, about children whose parents aren't seeking after the things of God, and how their lives line up with a certain statistic, and how those who are raised in church, even though, who will admit with me, people in church don't get everything right? Thank you. Where the world gets this concept that we think we know everything and we're perfect, that's just an excuse not to come in and get whole. Because I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm in here because we need to learn together. I learn as much teaching you, probably more than you do listening to me teach. So he comes in and he says, you need to talk, you know, to one another. You need to speak to them. You parents, you begin to take back your authority. And Paul told them that they had to enforce it. This is your house. You need to enforce this. So now we go, holy moly, I did it wrong. They're ruined. It's too late. No, it's not. Because God uses everything for your good. Genesis 50, the story of, you know, Joseph and his brothers selling him into slavery, and they were so afraid after their dad died that he was going to kill them because God had promoted him. But he said, guys, God did this so that I could save you. He allowed this to happen. But if you look at what people do to you instead of what God's doing, we'll miss out on the whole point. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Did you know? Let me just give you a little heads up. Your kids are going to accuse you of things. Your kids are going to think that they know more than you. Your kids are going to rebel against authority, and I know it for a fact because every one of us in here did it. Okay? That doesn't, more than once, you're the cutest thing ever, Pat. But the truth is on this, guys, did that make us evil? No, it just showed our immaturity. And that we didn't even know what was good for us. Well, I'm grateful. Because even though my kids didn't do everything right, and I didn't do everything right, that gives me hope that how good God is and how much He loves us. So He's taking care of these families. I want to look at something a little bit different tonight. I want to look at what that means. That's the natural side of things. Now I want to look at the supernatural side. I think that when God's talking about children, when He talks about children, He's just talking about general believers. We're all His children. We believe. All God's children. That old gospel song, all God's children. God. Anyway, yeah. And then when He's talking about parents, I feel like He's talking about disciples. And when He's talking about family, I think that's really the church. And I want to just expound on that a little bit. Galatians 4:19 says, little children, and He's addressing not children, techna, but the word is techion. Now He's talking to disciples. Excuse me. Now He's talking to people who need to be taught. And it is the way that a teacher talks to a disciple. Okay? So He comes in and He's saying, listen, your reward is not here. This isn't all we get. This isn't the life. This isn't all I'm going to have. I said it Sunday, and this has been a revelation to me. We act like the devil is going to kill us, and every one of us who are believers are going to outlive the devil. We forget he's defeated. We act like he's going to take us down. He has no power and no authority. That's why I have to stay connected, because I'll forget it, because I live in this human form, and I let the smallest things freak me out. And here's what I've learned. If God can't take me down, He'll go to my kids. He'll pick on me through my kids. If my kids, everything's going okay, He'll use a friend. And guys, we're all sure that we love each other, friends, kids, everything. But it could be something so innocent. You can be in a grocery store and somebody will say something and it just destroys your whole week, right? Because we have these weak minds. So He's saying, I want you to stay connected. I want you to keep planting the seed, one believer to another. We got to keep planting the seed. Why? Because that seed will come forth with life. That seed, His word is going to flourish. Lady Gaga's words are not going to flourish. No, they won't. They may cause mayhem and chaos, and kids may tell their parents off, and they agree with them. Oh, just let them do whatever. They know what they're doing. No, they don't. You and I don't know. They don't know. Don't give up your authority, because somewhere down the line, those seeds are going to come back. I've lived it, and I've believed it. And I'm telling you, a parent, don't let the world tell you that an age is too, oh, now they're past it. They're never going to get it. Baloney. I'm watching people who are in their 60s and over come to know the Lord for the first time. It's never too late. And if you give up hope, you'll quit fighting the fight. And we're not going to quit. We're going to keep in our authority because our kids are worth it. It's worth it for my kids not to like me. It's worth it for my kids to challenge me. Why? Because it keeps me sharp and better in tune with the Lord, and it's going to show them at the end of the road, Mama took the harder way. Just last night, Charity called me, and we were talking on the phone, and she was telling me, you know, this, she's going through something, and we were talking about it, you know, and she has a job and five kids and all these things, and we're talking about it on the phone. And I said, Charity, I know it's the harder thing, but right now, stick with it. Do this. See it through. I know it's going to take more, but see it through. And I said, all those times you kids would say, Mama, you just let people walk all over you. Mom, you shouldn't do that. Mom, you whatever. I said, there was a reason and there's a payoff because the reward is from the Lord. And she just was like, Mom, I know it. That's why I'm calling you. Right? Because they don't have the life experience that you and I have. They don't know things that are going to hurt them. They think it's great, just like you and I did when we snuck out in the dark. And, oh, you feel all powerful. You snuck out. You got away with something. But let me just ask you, when you look back at that something, did it really benefit your life today? No, really, you can tell me if it did. I'm not getting any yeses yet. Because we recognize that when we walk out from under the authority of someone who loves us, you're open prey for anybody who wants you to do anything because people want to be justified by how many people are going to do it. And that's not how we're justified. Salvation 101, redemption, justification, propitiation, and vindication. We've already been through it. Well, here's the thing. My seed will flourish. I don't care how old they are. I don't care if I got it wrong. I don't care. There's times that I grieve that I wasn't harder on them sometimes. Honestly. And not to be mean, but because I knew that I pulled back because I didn't want their rejection. Well, if that's about me, it's not about them. And he sent us to serve and put the other person first. And that includes our children. I want to tell you something. Authority sets the boundaries that we can't set for ourselves. And no child, nobody who's living under your roof, got their feet under your table, and you're providing for, should have the opportunity to set the boundary because they're deceived. They don't even know what responsibility is. Oh, you know, Gay, you sure are meddling tonight. Well, let's talk about parents. Let's talk about them as disciples. Matthew 28:19-20. He encourages us to go deeper. And he wants us to step further, but he wants us to also become an encourager and to go deeper. And the word disciple is Matthias. And that's someone who is no longer a child, but is more of a teacher or a mentor, okay? In other words, you're pursuing the things of God on purpose. You don't have to be under, you're responsible for yourself now, okay? But there's a training that has to happen to get the results that we want. I can't just answer for me. I got to answer for you too. That's what a disciple is. Because a disciple follows what Jesus did. There's no way the world's going to give you the wisdom for what Jesus has done. There's no way. Every other religion, I think it's so toxic when parents say, well, let them discover them all and they'll figure out what they want to do. Do you even know where you want to eat sometimes when you get the opportunity to go out and eat? What makes you think they're going to make decisions about religion if you just give them a little dose of everything? Right? Because the truth is, the only religion that has a reward that has paid the sacrifice for you is Christianity. Every other religion says you have to earn your way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Every sin came on me. My blood was shed so that there is a propitiation for the anger that sin causes. Not hatred towards people. This is where God gets a bad rap. It is not hatred towards people. God is angry about sin because sin hurts people. And sin is you in agreement with the devil who said, I know better than God. I'll leave heaven. I'll take a third of the angels and I'll prove you wrong. And as we get in agreement with him, sin, miss the mark, that makes God angry. And Jesus paid the price for that anger. Oh, he's mad at me. God's mean. No, he's not. He sees your enemy and he's mad at the enemy. Is there ever a sheep, guys, you believe that left the fold, that was stupid, dumb sheep, walked off, went into the forest, and the wolf came? Do you ever think at the end that the shepherd hated the sheep or the wolf? And if a man can have that much wisdom, how much more does God have if it's in us? You get mad at a child for disobeying, but you can rip the throat out of something that hurt your kid, right? So that price has already been paid. Every other religion is going to tell you what you have to do to earn it. And not only that, but the one who started what you have to do is dead in the ground. We got the only living one. The only living one. The only one whose word is living. When I read these scriptures to you, that is the same as if his breath is running through me and he's speaking something and showing me how alive it is. That's the reason that I can stand up in the middle of my house when there was tension or disorder and say, I am not having this. That is not of God. I bring it to the light, and I'm telling you, kids, Jesus is going to be brought into this house. And when I said we fixing to have a come to Jesus meeting, they knew what I meant. And what I meant was we're going to call this out, we're going to show it out, and we're going to get over it. Because I'm not having this drama, I'm not having this pity party, I'm not having you hating on people, because that is against God. And he said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'll tell you this, he said that when one is weak, the other can come alongside and be stronger. He said that when we're confused, he will bring clarity. He said that when we stumble, he will hold us, that we will never fall headlong. And I'm telling you, kids, tonight, we're not falling. We're going to stand. And if they didn't want to pray, I just started praying right away. And I'm telling you, the atmosphere changed in that house, because the enemy's spirit cannot cohabitate with the Spirit of God. You have this authority. When you begin to call on God, it takes the pressure off you, and it puts it back on your Father, because I'm still his child. And I still need to be. Children, obey your parents. Daddy God, I submit to you. That brings us back down to this. Our church, our family. A.W. Tozer has a quote, and I'll put it on the back of your notes tonight. He said, while it looks like things are out of control, behind their scenes there's a God who hasn't surrendered his authority. Did you ever just let your kids go ahead and make a mess and just know they did it and watch them? But you knew it was, you got control over it later. That's how Heavenly Dad is. And the reason he lets me freak out is because he knows that's when I'm going to seek out for help. I'm so hard-headed. I'll admit it. Thank God. My husband isn't in here tonight. Thank God. I'm so hard-headed that there are times where I need to be able to just be... So I recognize where my help comes from, because for some reason I feel like I have to do it by myself. And I'm talking about just serving the Lord. You're going to walk under the authority of God, or the enemy's going to walk over you. It's just that simple. So I do want to look tonight at Luke chapter 2, where we talked about Jesus in the temple. We're going to go to verse 49. I'm going to start there. And I'm going to read this out of the Living. He says, why did you need the search? He asked. Didn't you know that I must be at my Father's house? This was Jesus when his parents lost him when he was 12. And the word says, and they understood not the saying. They didn't understand what he meant. But here's the beautiful part about Jesus. Then he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. But his mother stored all these things in her heart. Now here's what happened. Jesus, who knew more than his parents, they couldn't even understand what he was saying, still was in authority. He was in under the authority of his parents. So he left where he was and followed them. Now look at what happens. Verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all people. This is a scripture I have prayed over my husband for years, literally. Well, I can truthfully say decades. I pray that Steve will have the wisdom, that he will have the stature of Jesus, and that he will walk in favor with God and with men. I just think if that's what Jesus did, I can pray that for my husband because I want him to succeed. But Jesus grew and increased because of what? Thank you. Obedience to people who didn't even know as much as he knew. So if he's doing that and he grew in favor with God, what do you think's going to happen to you and me when we begin to submit to the authority of God and just take the pressure off? God, I don't know everything. Why is that so hard to say? Who's browbeat you so much that you think you have to have all the answers? Who's put that kind of tormenting pressure on you? I can tell you right now, it came from somebody who didn't have all the answers, and they were insecure, and they were pressing you to feel as bad about themselves as they felt about themselves. We're not buying this anymore. God's given you an authority, and we're going to walk in that authority. I don't know more than those that God has put me in authority under. And if I do know more than those that God's put me in authority under, you know what? I'm going to submit to them, and I'm going to learn from them because I'm serving God, not them. But as I serve God, I'll serve them. Are you with me? So the battlefield of faith, first, we got to take our authority for whatever position God has put us in. And tonight, we just happen to be talking about parents. But let's look in the supernatural. I think he's talking to believers. I think he's saying, hey, you young believers, submit to your teachers. Listen to what they have to say. I think that he's saying to the teachers and to the believers, you're making up the body of Christ. You're the family of God. You're making up the body of Christ. I am the bride of Christ, and he's coming back for me. And I'm showing the world who he is by how I live. I'm happy to admit that when God looks bad, I wasn't serving him. Don't blame God. Put it on me. Welcome to the family. Walk under God's authority. I put this scripture, Matthew 12, on your notes. It says, while he was talking to the crowds, it happened that his mother and brother stood outside asking to speak to him, talking about Jesus. And someone said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak to you. But Jesus replied to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hands toward his disciples and all his other followers, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who's in heaven by believing in me and following me is my brother, my sister, and my mother. That's your family. This is our family. So welcome to the family. You know how I know? Because I'm under his roof. I'm sitting tonight at his table getting the word. I'm trusting him to take care of the things I can't. And we're going to study further in this at how he's clothing me in righteousness. I'm telling you, I am under his authority, and it's a good place to be. Oh, I wish I could go back, somebody may be saying. Well, let me tell you something. You can go back. You can return at any time to the Lord. And by returning to the Lord, you will lead other people back to him. Now, on the back of your notes is something that a friend of ours, Charles Slagle, wrote. He had a book, and the book was called From the Father's Heart. And it's kind of like letters that are just written to you individually. And what I'd like for you to do tonight is stand, and I want to read this letter over every one of you. If you'll just put your papers down and stand so you can just hear it. You can take it home to read over it, but I want you just to hear it. I just felt like it was a good thing for us to come in agreement tonight and just let God minister to our hearts. There's scripture on this that you can look up, Isaiah 50, verse 4, and Romans 8, 17. Questioning one, why do you doubt? Have I ever failed to give you wisdom or direction when you ask? Have I put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hands? None of our words can fail, for my spirit has anointed your tongue and wisdom to confront the weary. There's a time for reaping. Bear in mind that reaping always follows the time for planting. Be encouraged. I am with you. I have not spoken vain or empty words. Allow me to water the living words we've seeded into the hearts of my people. Remember my principle of process, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Even Jesus did not always receive immediate results. Often his words were simply rejected. He's your example, your teacher. You can't be greater than he is. Rest. If you would share in his ministry, will you also not share in his suffering? You don't see it all. You see only in part. So be of good cheer. You're not called to produce ready-made results. I've called you to bear fruit, and bear it you will in due time. Your fruit will remain, and your harvest will be great. You have my word on that forever, Dad. Father, tonight, I ask you to help those who've gotten agreement with the enemy that they are part of destruction and darkness, that you will break that lie off of them, and that you will remove from us the thought that it is too late, because your word tells me that you spoke time into existence. Your word tells me you caused the darkness to separate from the light. You said, Lord, that what you say will be. You said, God, that even the winds and the waves obey your voice. And tonight, God, I'm asking you to speak peace to people who have believed, God, that their time to prosper in you is past. And we set our minds tonight to be under your authority, not to be bruised and beaten, God, but to be brought back into a fellowship with someone who knows what my tomorrow holds, who sees things that I can't see, and who has said they will never leave me, they will never forsake me. I can't get a deal like that anywhere else, God. I'm asking right now, Father, for those who've been in despair, for this darkness to go off of them in the name of Jesus, and Father, for hope to come forth through you. Lord, we repent for counting on men to make us happy. We repent, God, for waiting on money to make us happy. We repent, God, for waiting on certain affections to make us happy. God, happiness can only be found in the lasting love of you. Tonight, God, restore our hope and restore authority over every home tonight, God, because when a parent needs help, you'll speak wisdom to them. Because we submit to you, we will grow in wisdom, we will be established, and we will have favor with you, O God. For that, Lord, we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, return home. Return home to the Lord and let him establish all the ways that you go. Amen. Now, Saturday, we're going to have a work day here, and we've got a team coming. I think there'll be like 15 to 20 that are coming, and Glenn Woodson's got some prep work that we're going to start tomorrow night so that we can accomplish a lot on Saturday, whether it rains or not. I think it's going to be beautiful. 62 sounds good to me. 20% chance of rain, that means nothing in Texas. We're going to believe for good, but I'm hoping we can get a few projects done. And I want to give God praise. Someone that Steve and I just met last week, we shared the need for the new freezers that we shared on Sunday. Cheryl, how many have we already gotten? 6 have already been given. And they weren't from this church. Can I just tell you, that's God. He's given us favor because we're walking with Him. Amen? So we're grateful. So if you can help on work day, love to have you, okay? If you didn't sign up on that sign-up sheet, I didn't even sign up. And they're like, well, nobody's kind of like, well, I didn't sign up. So if you hadn't signed up, let Glenn Woodson know. Or let call the office and just leave a message. Let us know, okay? Amen, and God bless you. And amen.